Good morning, church. I was going to look at Bobby and see if our clicker works. So it's Women's History Month. And, you know, bear with me. We'll be a little bit unconventional at parts. And so if you don't mind, I would love for a woman to open us up in a word of prayer for our service today. And I'm going to pick on Tosa. Tosa is going to come pray for us for our service today. Let's give Tosa a big round of applause. She's going to pray for us. See? God be on your toes today.
Dearest God, you are such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Father to us. You created us. You created us in your own image. You wanted to have a relationship with us. We are so grateful, God, to be gathered here today. We're grateful to be able to encourage one another and to come and learn from your word, God. We thank you for making it possible for us to be over here together. And I'm just so grateful to be able to celebrate Women's History Month as a woman myself. I'm so grateful, God, for the way that you created us in your image, God, and we're very grateful for that. I pray that you will be with every single aspect of this service. Be with Sam, God. Speak through him in a powerful way. And I just pray, God, that we can all be inspired, we can all be convicted, and we can all live here today, God, just basking in your love and determined, God, to live the life that you have called us all to live. We thank you very much and pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tosa. So for those online, for those in person, I see that we went forward here. So the first one was to guess that word, to endure in spite of counter influences, opposition, and discouragement. And now we don't have to guess because we saw the answer. So everybody on the count of three, what's that word? Nice. So we're going to be talking about persevering today. And we're going to start off, but hopefully you didn't see these answers. So you can see that she's at the top of that mountain. She's looking out. She's persevered to reach the top right there. So how about this? If you know the answer, put it in the chat. If you're online, if you know it now, just raise your hand. Go for it. How many people say love? That's a tricky one. That's a tricky one. What's the answer to that one? I know, because we know it's love, but the actual word is, anybody gonna look it up? It, who said it? Go ahead, Grace. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes. I told you it was tricky. So now you're dealing with a principle, and now you got a trick question, and you're just like, But we know what it is. It is, of course, love, but then, you know, would you have that teacher, think back, that teacher that would give you credit for that? I'd give you credit for that. But then you might have that teacher like, the answer is it. But you got credit for that. Here we go. Keep going. How about the next one? Oh, man. Everybody. Persevere. You guys are so good. Hopefully they're getting these online too, right? Guess the word of words. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will. Go ahead. Who said receive? Come on, Sherry. Go for it. Sherry, you are right. Say it. You will receive what he has promised. Come on, y'all. Doing a good job. Next one. By faith, he left. Anybody got that one? By faith, he left. Heaven. Not fearing the blank's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Grace is on fire. So the last one is invisible. And then we have the first two. By faith, he left Egypt. Who said, come on, let's go. That's right. He left Egypt, not fearing the Bob, king's anger. Come on, Bob. So let's put it all together. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. You guys, we're much better together. All right, next one. Blessed is the one who perseveres on the trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown. Crown of glory. Crown of righteousness. Crown of light. Grace. Come on, y'all. Give it up to grace. Saying that name again. The crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's go. All right. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, Sherry. Come on, let's go. My name. And have not grown. Wow. Let's go, Jamie Lippincott. Bobby's like so proud of my wife. It's like, that's my wife. It's awesome. Okay, today, persevering in loving each other and persevering in loving God. 2 points. Right? So we're going to talk about persevering, but we're going to be persevering in two areas. Persevering in loving each other and persevering in loving God. Question. People online could type it in. Thought of this question two ways. What messes up relationships? Or you could think about what makes relationships so hard? All right. So we think about it. Talk with someone next to you. Just to hear some ideas. Go for it. What makes relationships so hard? Go for it. I'm going to ask Bobby to check out some answers online. We'll get some of those folks at home jumping in. Or no? Okay. So folks online, if they want to type it in. But I'm hearing these awesome answers. So Dave Mitchell, why don't you say yours? Make relations hard. What's up? Did I call on Dave? I'm going to go back. No. Go ahead, Dave. Let's see. He wanted to demonstrate the fact that he's the one that messes up relationships. Daniel, want to say yours? Trust can mess up a relationship. Miss Lady, conflict messes up relationships. Right. Pride messes up relationships. Amber, gossip messes up relationship. James, selfishness. Hey, brother. Past hurts. Wow. Differences. Uncontrolled anger or emotions. Woo. Guy. Okay, you're going to have to translate for me for that one. Or lies. We're hitting a lot of these things. Folks, relationships are hard. I am, as a principal of a school, I'm responsible for 675 kids and 200 adults. I spend most of my time managing relationships. I'm going to persona for a little bit. And thank you, Elizabeth Alvarado is here. Some of you guys might know that Alexa Miller also works with me. And Elizabeth sees it firsthand. Sometimes the kids, they don't have that filter yet. So they might come in and, you know, sometimes they come to my office and they're like, I'm going to go into persona. I'm done. I'm so done. Nope. I want to fight. She wrote, Ms. Garrison, look what she wrote online. I don't want to hear it no more. I want to fight. I don't want to hear nothing. But that's not just the children. Those are the adults. You got to catch that. You thought it was talking about the kids. I got one adult. She actually recorded on a social media page. She says, Monday is popping. Everybody, you heard chemistry school? I'm telling you, those women in there, it's going down. You heard? Like, it's going down. And she's talking about all the stuff she's going to do to the aides when she get there on Monday. She said, if you got a friend that work at Camden, I'm telling you right now, they better not go to work on Monday. And she recorded this. She put it online. Monday, I brought her into the office because somebody, when she did it, it was one of those things that's supposed to go away, but it didn't go away. So then they had the recording and they sent it to me. So then she came in on Monday. I said, sit down. And it was her last day. She just went off. She was so frustrated. She said, these women, she got a colorful name for them, keep talking about me and all that stuff. I'm on pop, pop, pop. Right. Relationships can be difficult, can be really hard. Let's look at someone. We're going to go into the Bible here. So I want you to guess who. I'm going to go down these things here. Can see if we can read it. Losing his mom at a young age, people. So read through that and then tell me, who's that person? Can't read it too far, right? Let me see how I go over.
Get to a book. Okay. Can I get some sound on this one? I can read it. Help everybody.
Come on. Told you, he's like, that is Joseph. Losing his mom at a young age. People gossiping. I heard Amber talk about gossiping. They were talking about him. People trying to kill him. His brothers try to kill him, right? Lies against him. Ooh, yes. That woman that tried to rape him. Betrayal from his brothers. Abandonment. He might have thought his dad was going to show up because his dad loved him so much, but his dad never found him. Never found him at all. He had to go to a new country, learn a new language, learn a new culture. You know how hard that is? Being a foreigner, then he got thrown in prison. Nobody's gonna say, I've been locked up, right? Resisting temptation, sexual, being a slave, didn't get paid, just working. Not being believed in. You ever try to tell you're part of it, you're innocent, and people just don't believe you? You know how mad that makes you feel, right? Disrespect. The disrespect. Not seeing his family for 20 years. Because he was 17 when his brother sold him into slavery. He wouldn't see them again until he's 37. And then that loneliness for decades. That's who we're talking about. All right. Why are we talking about Joseph? We're talking about persevering in relationships. So to say that Joseph's family, a little bit kind of dysfunctional, right? So his father loved one kid more than the rest. Think that's going to cause problems? So, you know, as parents, yeah, we're not going to do that. You don't love one kid more than the other and like buy one special clothes and the other one's not special clothes. You know, that might create what? Jealousy. So when we talk about what messes up relationship, sin does. Favoritism does. Like, so, it, you know, but being real, can that happen in the church? Some people are like, no, not church. You know, like you get like an allergy-free zone, like you go into school sometimes, say, this is a nut-free zone, no peanuts, no stuff like that. Is church a sin-free zone? Like, you know, you walk through the door, sin just doesn't exist. We don't need to talk about it because it just doesn't exist once you pass through Sheraton, the castle. You're good, right? Doesn't. No one will hurt your feelings. No one will hurt your feelings at all, right? Persevering through our relationships will require us to learn a little something from Joseph, right? Want to check it out? See if I have it on my phone. We're going to go to that one. We're going to move on now. All right. I think I got it. Here it is. What can Joseph teach us? Relationships are hard work. Here's one. Hurt people don't have to hurt people. Say it again. Hurt people don't have to hurt people. Faith in God allows us to break the cycle. Dysfunction is a gift that we don't have to pass on. We can stop it. So let's look at Genesis 50, verse 15. I'll read that. So we know all that Joseph had to persevere through. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us? Is there anybody in here holding a grudge against someone? That, you know, but no, there isn't, because we're in a sin-free zone. We don't hold grudges. We're good. We're sin-free. What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? Again, sin-free zone. We don't pay anybody back for anything they do to us. So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. So they're so scared that their brother's going to pay them back that they now made something up. So now they're going to lie. Your father left these instructions. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your fathers. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. There are people that we can hold in jail for when they hurt us. So they hurt us and we put them in jail and we throw away the key. You'll never get out. Stay in there. You hurt me so bad, I won't ever, ever, ever let you out of jail. You can stay there, right? But it's so interesting that even when people, in this case, that you can forgive, the person also has to forgive themselves, because they'll be in a self-imposed jail. That's no good either, right? So he cried because he saw that his brothers were in a self-imposed jail, and he had to do everything he can so that they can learn to forgive themselves. His brothers came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. You know, so powerful, right? All this messed up, that stuff that happened to Joseph. And through it all, God was with him the entire time. He was never alone. He found his strength in God. He saw what God saw. So, and the message there is, everything that I'm asking to do, like this is challenging us to do, that's so hard. The bottom line is you can't do it without God. You're going to have to see what God sees in order for you to let go. So as we were singing, nothing I hold on to, we don't want to hold on to past hurts. We don't want to hold on to grudges. We have to let those go, right? Good so far? All right. Persevering in our love for God, learning from Moses. I got to get into character here. I think what's coming next. All right. Jump on this, my camera. I'm going to read this. Then hopefully I can do this. Right. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. All right, trying it. If Moses was a rapper, it might sound like, don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care. Don't care about the riches and the fame. Don't care if they know my name. All I want is God. All I want is God. Don't care, don't care, don't care, don't care. Don't care about the likes on my page. Everything is just a phase. All I want is God. All I want is God. All right, there you go. That's a little thing right there. There's a little rap right there. If Moses was a rapper. Thing about it is, when you think about making a name for yourself, about the fame, about all that stuff, how many likes you got on your page. All that's a phase. All Moses wanted was God. He was born Prince of Egypt. That title, you can have it. All the riches of Egypt, top empire at the time, ruling for thousands of years. He said, you can have it. But one of the coolest little present in this passage, man, I was reading this with a teen and I was like, I never saw that before. Like, there's so many things about Jesus that we get to discover. There's so many things that we don't know. And you just get little glimpses here and there. And we're going to look at Moses a little bit. But let me just propose before we go down this road, the fact that there are so many mysteries of God and things and miracles that just go beyond our understanding. And we know we have like Marvel superheroes, but when you go in the Bible, like truly marvelous, you just marvel and go, what? I'm looking at Romeo back there. Romeo, like, what? Romeo is like that too. You know, we kind of get hype. If Mo was here, we get hype about the comics. Like, what? That's crazy. You could just sit in that for a little bit. All right, let's just marvel a little bit. Moses did it for the sake of Christ. Moses knew Jesus back then. Everybody go, what? Well, we know that Moses was older than Abraham. What? No, we know that Jesus was older than Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham, I am, right? So we knew he was always around, but was he interacting with people? What? So Moses knew Jesus. And so we start thinking about, when could Moses have spoken to Jesus? And now we're just on another level. Like, wow, wow. He did that all for the sake of Christ. Like, wow. So as we go down this road, we're just going to keep going. Two things. What? And wow. So when you decide to be close to God and the prophets in the Bible, you got like Jacob, and then God told Jacob what's going to happen in the future. Then you have Joseph, and God told Joseph what's going to happen to the future. And then we get to Moses and just some pretty marvelous, amazing things start happening. We're going to go down. Check this one out. He did it for Jesus, 11:26. But in order to get where he was, he had to see sin as fleeting and not worth it, 11:25. 1 Peter 4:1 says that if you've suffered in your body, you're done with sin. You know, like sometimes I talk with the kids and they're so frustrated. I'm done. You know, it could happen to church too. I'm done with that sister. I'm telling you, I tried. I'm done with that brother. I'll tell you, I'm done with that. But the funny thing about it is, Moses encourages like, yo, if there's something you're going to be done with sin. Don't be done with each other. Persevere with each other, but be done with sin. I will tell you this, after they wandered 40 years in the desert, they didn't come out and build a calf again. They were done with that. They were not coming right out and building a calf. They're like, listen, done with that. Don't get tired. Galatians 6:9 says, don't become weary in doing good. Well, you reap a harvest at the proper time if you do not what? Don't give up. Uh-oh, here we go. Get some help. I'm climbing up the mountain. Forgiving up the mountain, confessing up the mountain, forget
up the mountain, confessing up the mountain, confessing up the mountain, confessing up the reach the top. Oh, yeah. Amen. Thank you guys for the spontaneous song. It's a climb, y'all. Start thinking about it, right? Two things in mind. Most likely, so Moses was called at 80 years old. We looked at Joseph. Joseph was 17. Moses was 80. Think about being 80 years old and climbing up that mountain for 40 years. Mount Sinai. Climbing. Climbing up that mountain. Climbing up the mountain. 40 years climbing the mountain. 80. Won't keep climbing that mountain. Most likely a part of our fellowship to climb a mountain at 80. Dave Mitchell, y'all, climb that mountain. And he's going up there. Like, another brother, Bruce Nussbaum, Iron Man. They're going to be climbing that mountain at 80. Just to have their quiet time, you know what I'm saying? It's just like climbing that mountain, having that quiet time, mountaintop experience, 80. Instead, verse 34, 29, when Moses would have his time with God, there's Romeo. It's some comic strip. Dude, face was like, oh. He came down the mountain. They couldn't look at him like, his face was like the sun. You know, there's some people, you just have your quiet time and you're doing it. You're on it, right? It happens sometimes. You just can't be around that brother or sister. They're just like, ah! Challenges the snot out of you. Like, yeah! There's no room for doubt. Like, you know, like you really want some of that light. You just like, I'm going to give him a call. I know I'm going to hear what I don't want to hear, but it's going to be right. And there are people, like, you spend your time with God, and you're just there. You're just in it. God is just showing you some things, and God's word is just transforming you. Your face, your actions, everything is just different. You're on fire. It's just what it is, because you spend time with, man. Like, you climb that mountain. We were talking on Wednesday, Phil, all these brothers just doing a great job. Hobby, the water. Man, we have the river of life. And wherever we go, we're bringing it. And then you think about James. Like, James talking about our anchor and our foundation on Jesus. Look at that earth right there. And you talk about going through the fire. So all my teens, they might know about Avatar, The Last Airbender. So got Bobby with water. We got James with earth and fire. What was the last one? There's Daniel. It's like wind. Come on. Nino was like, I know. I got a son. Wind. And when we think about wind right now, we're just talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, being in the Spirit, man, being in the Spirit. Like, you're going to transcend every earthly thing when you're in the Spirit. You're leaving all the basic elements behind. God's Spirit just moving, right? So now we come in, Lenny, start thinking about this. Moses is climbing this mountain for years, for decades. Exodus 33, 18 through 23. I wonder if I could go fast forward real quick. And then I'm going to come back. I got to get to the scripture. Is that me right there? 18? Nope, I'm going the wrong way. Let's get back. 18, there it is. One. Too far, right? All right, there we go. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one will see my face and live. May see my face and live. Then the Lord said,
there's a place near me where you could stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. My face may not be seen. He's climbing that mountain for many years and he's having this relationship with God. And it's like, you know, Moses, you can't see my face in land. But tell you what, because you're so persistent and you want to be close to me, I'll show you my back. I'll allow all my goodness to pass in front of you. How cool is that? It's pretty cool, right? But then we go on. Moses is helping us out a little bit. So I want to read this because Moses is going to climb that mountain one final time. He's going to climb Mount Nebo. So he started off at 80. Now he's 120. And we know that they were in the desert for 40 years. So now he's 120. We're going to read this together and notice some things about it, right? Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the city of Palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab. As the Lord had said, he buried him. Who's he? God buried Moses himself. Keep that in mind. Just keep that little tidbit. God buried Moses himself, right? He buried him in Moab in a valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Having your quiet time with God, being in God's presence, making sure you're close to him, it will sustain you. It will give you strength beyond strength. A little bit of Thundercats, sight beyond sight. That's for my old heads right there. Like, it was the same. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Wow. Come on, Romeo. Like that right there, some Marvel stuff. That's some Marvel stuff. God would say to Moses, I know your name. Start getting some VeggieTales in there. I am a friend of God. Hey. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. So now you got to think, what does God do for his friends like that? What does God do for his friends? Check this out. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him. For Sennacherib said, the Lord will rebuke you. Do you know, like, Moses' body was special? I would just record that Archangel Michael went to get his body. Climb that mountain year after year, being close to God, and now transcending the world as we know it because your relationship with God is tight like that. So now let's just blast off. Let's just get some otherworldly stuff. Stuff that you just go, what? Wow. Because we're going to finish up with this one. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. All right. We're in school. Here goes the trick question. See who's ready for it. What did they talk about? Discipleship. What did they talk about? Kingdom. What did they talk about?
Maybe Jesus is impending that. The truth is, we don't know. I mean, like this, I don't know. I just know to be able to be in a private conversation with Jesus is pretty special. It just seems like Moses can't get away from the mountain. But here he is coming back. He's on top of a mountain now. A mountain he didn't have to climb. Hey, man. He had to climb that one. He just appeared. Come on with that super, like, He's transformed. He has transcended. It's like, Moses, you're having a conversation with Elisha? What are you guys talking about? So you both appear to Jesus and you're having a conversation. All right, kind of bringing it in. Persevering with each other, persevering with God. Every single person in here with the Spirit of God, you have private conversations with God that nobody else knows about. And God is powerful enough to have a special relationship with you and you and you and you and you. And it's awesome. All you need is a willing heart and a Bible. And you can transcend this world. You will climb that mountain. You get to the top, right? And when you're done with your race, you're going to be like, wow. But you find that Jesus was there with you all along. We've been doing a lot of stuff midweeks talking about how we're planting ourselves, being rooted with Jesus, being connected to the vine. I could have easily said another verse on there. I'm reading up the mountain. You're going to have to be in the word. It's going to transform you. It's going to transform me. And in order to nothing I hold on to, in letting go of sin, we're going to need Jesus. In letting go of past hurts, we're going to need Jesus. And this doesn't stop. As long as you're dealing with people, you're going to get hurt. And we're going to have to keep doing the same thing over and over again. Church, thank you so much today. And thank you for listening.